Chapter 4 The Lovers and Revolution. Marius did not want to give evidence against Thénardier out of respect for his father's wish. Marius moved out of his room and in with his friend Enjolras. One day, Marius was sitting by a stream dreaming of his love when he heard a familiar voice. He looked up and recognized Eponine, the Thénardier's daughter.
"Finally, I've found you,"
she said.
"I've looked everywhere."
Marius said nothing to her.
"You don't seem happy to see me,"
she said.
"But I can make you happy if I want to."
"How?"
"I've got the address you wanted."
His heart skipped a bit. He jumped up and grabbed her hand.
"Let's go at once,"
he cried.
"And promise you'll never tell your father the address."
That night, Cosette was alone in the house Jean Valjean had bought a year before. It was a small house on a back street with a tiny wild garden. Valjean was away on business, and she was playing the piano when she heard footsteps in the garden. When she took a look, the garden was empty. The following morning, Cosette found a stone lying on a nearby bench. When she picked it up, she could see an envelope that contained a small notebook filled with love poems. She read them over and over and enjoyed everything about the poems. She remembered the handsome young man who was always looking at her in the Luxembourg Gardens, and she knew that these poems were from him. That night, Cosette put on her best dress and made her hair look beautiful. Then she went into the garden and waited. Suddenly, she felt she was being watched. It was he. His body was thinner and his skin was paler than she remembered, but it was he.
"Forgive me for following you for so long, but ever since that day you looked at me in the gardens, I've been lost without you,"
said the young man. Cosette was so overcome by his words that she swooned and fell backward. He caught her and held her tightly in his arms.
"Do you love me too?"
he asked her.
"Of course I do,"
she said.
"You know I do."
Then they kissed and sat beneath the blanket of stars overhead. During the month of May 1832, Cosette and Marius met every day in the garden of that hidden little house. All day they would hold hands and stare into each other's eyes. Marius was beginning to think he had gone mad with happiness. On a beautiful, star-filled evening, Marius found a very unhappy Cosette sitting in the garden.
"What's wrong?"
Marius asked.
"My father says we may have to move again. He said to pack everything and be ready to go to England in a week."
"Will you go with him?"
Marius asked her coldly.
"What else can I do?"
"You're going to leave me."
"Oh, Marius, don't be so cruel,"
she said.
"You could come too."
"But I'm poor,"
he cried.
"You need money to go to England. But I have an idea. I won't be here tomorrow."
"Why not?"
Cosette cried.
"What are you going to do?"
"Don't worry. I'll be back the day after tomorrow. I'll meet you here no later than 9 p.m. I promise."
Marius's grandfather, Monsieur Gillenormand, was now 90 years old. He was very unhappy that he had not seen his grandson for years. He was too proud to admit he was wrong, but he secretly hoped his beloved grandson would return one day. It was a June evening when Monsieur Gillenormand was staring into the fire, thinking sad thoughts about Marius. Suddenly, a servant appeared and asked,
"Sir, will you accept a visit from Monsieur Marius?"
The old man shuddered for a moment and then in a quiet voice said,
"Show him in."
When the young man entered, he asked,
"Why are you here? Have you come to apologize to me?"
"No, sir,"
Marius said, holding back his frustration.
"I've come to ask you for your blessing of my marriage."
"So you're 21 and want to get married. How much money are you currently making?"
"Nothing."
"Then the girl must have money."
"I don't know."
"21 with no job and no money. Your wife will have to count her change carefully when she goes to the market.
Please, Grandfather. I love her so much. I beg you to bless us.
The old man gave a disgusted laugh.
Ha! Never!
Marius was depressed and exhausted. When he returned to Enjolras' apartment, Enjolras was there with some of his revolutionary friends. The group was excited because there was about to be a battle in the streets between the government soldiers and the revolutionaries. After they left, Marius took out the gun Inspector Javert had given him in February. He put it in his pocket and wandered around the streets. At 9 o'clock, he climbed into her garden, but she was not there as she had promised. There were no lights on in the house, and the windows were closed. Marius was so upset that he beat his fists on the wall. When he had no more energy left, he sat down. She was gone, he told himself. There was nothing left for him to do but die. Then he heard a voice calling his name from the street.
Monsieur Marius!
What is it?
He replied.
Monsieur Marius, your friends are waiting for you at the barricade in the Rue de Chanvrerie. They'll be fighting the soldiers soon.
When Marius looked over the wall, he saw the figure of the Thénardier's daughter, Éponine, running off into the shadows. The spring of 1832 found Paris in a state of revolution. When the despotic Charles X was overthrown by a peaceful revolution in 1830, King Louis-Philippe assumed the throne. The new leader failed to understand the needs and power of the poor and the concept of free speech. He often sent soldiers to attack citizens who were protesting in public. The mood of the workers and the poor was inflamed. When General Lamarque died, their dissatisfaction erupted. General Lamarque had been popular with the French people because he was a staunch supporter of democracy and Napoleon. The funeral began quietly, but when the large crowd of protesters tried to take the coffin away from the soldiers, shots were fired and people began to die. Paris was gripped in a state of war. Enjolras and his friends were building a barricade outside a wine shop in the market district. As they worked, a tall, gray-haired stranger joined them. Some boys joined their efforts as well. One of them was Éponine, who dressed as a boy so that she would be allowed to stay and help in their struggle. When they had finished building the barricade, Enjolras and his men took a rest. There were 50 of them preparing to fight against 60,000 soldiers. The odds were against them, and they knew it. As they sat drinking their wine, Enjolras began to suspect the tall, gray-haired stranger of being a spy.
You're a police officer sent here to spy on us. Admit it,
said Enjolras. The man tried to deny it, but eventually he admitted the truth. He was a police spy.
My name is Javert, said the man.
Enjolras took him prisoner and tied him to a post. Then he told him,
We are going to shoot you 2 minutes before the barricade falls.
As Marius neared the barricade, the soldiers attacked. Bullets whizzed everywhere. Marius saw Enjolras being attacked by a soldier. He pulled the gun from his pocket and killed the soldier. But while he was saving Enjolras, he did not see another soldier aiming a gun at him. The soldier fired, and at that moment, a boy jumped in front of the gun to save Marius. All around were the dead bodies of rebels and soldiers. After battling for some time, the soldiers took control of the top part of the barricade wall. Then everyone heard a voice say,
Get back, or I'll blow up this barrel of gunpowder and we'll all die.
It was Marius. He lowered his torch to the barrel, and all the soldiers retreated. Enjolras was overjoyed to see Marius, and they embraced. Then Marius heard a weak voice call his name. He looked down and saw Éponine, dressed in the clothing of a boy and covered in blood.
Don't worry,
he said to her.
We'll get a doctor to help you.
No, it's too late,
she said as the blood flowed from her like red wine. she put her head on his knee and asked him to kiss her forehead after she died. Marius said he would. Then she said,
I can't lie to you. I have a letter in my pocket that Cosette asked me to give you. I was going to keep it, since I am so jealous of her. I am in love with you.
Then she died, and Marius kissed her forehead. He read the letter from Cosette.
My dear, we must leave this house now. We're going to number 7 Rue de l'Homme Armé tonight. In a week, we'll move to England. I hope I see you again. All of my love. Cosette, June 4th.
Marius kissed the letter. He still thought he would die on this evening of revolution, but he decided he must send her one last letter. He pulled out his notebook and wrote,
Dearest Cosette, our marriage is impossible. My grandfather has refused to give his blessing. I tried to see you, but you were gone. The situation here is very bad. I shall die tonight. I love you eternally, and my soul will always be near you. Love always, Marius.
Then he folded the letter and wrote her address on it. A small boy was passing by, and Marius told him to take the letter to the address quickly. The boy took the letter and ran off into the darkness. Jean Valjean was very upset. He and Cosette had argued for the first time ever. She had not wanted to move out of the house. Now, in their new house, they went to bed without speaking to each other. The next day, Valjean heard about the fighting in the city, but he did not care. He was happy that they would soon be in England, but then something caught his eye. In the mirror, he could see the blotter that Cosette had used to dry the ink on a letter she had written. He began to read it and realized that she was in love with someone. Jean Valjean felt angry and betrayed that someone wanted to take away the only person he had ever loved. He knew that it must be the young man they had seen so often at the Luxembourg Gardens. He went out on the front step, his heart burning with hatred. Valjean was wondering how he could take revenge on this man when a small boy approached with a letter for Cosette. He took the letter and read it. The words, I shall die tonight, made him happy. The man's death would solve his problem. Perhaps the man was already dead. Then Valjean realized that he would have to try to save this man for Cosette's happiness, even though he hated this man more than anyone in the world. 30 minutes later, Valjean put on his old National Guard uniform, stuffed a loaded gun in his pocket, and left for the market district of Paris. That night, 37 rebels survived behind the barricade. When they collected the dead, they found 4 National Guardsmen uniforms. These uniforms could be used as disguises for the married men in their group. The men began to argue about who would stay behind to fight, since there were 5 married men and only 4 uniforms. Each man wanted to be the one to make the sacrifice. Then a 5th National Guardsman uniform fell in front of them. It was Valjean's.
Now all 5 men can leave, he said.
He joined the group behind the barricade. Shortly after, the soldiers began firing cannonballs at them. The barricade began to crumble under the attack. As the fighting began, Valjean asked Enjolras if he could be the one to execute Inspector Javert. Enjolras said,
You deserve a reward for giving us that uniform, so yes. Take him in back of the alley and shoot him.
Valjean took Javert back to the alley. On a nearby pile of corpses was the dead body of Eponine.
I think I know that girl,
Javert said, sadly resigned to his fate.
Now take your revenge.
Valjean pulled out his gun and fired it into the air. Then he took out his knife and cut the rope binding Javert.
You are free to go, he said.
This is embarrassing, said Javert.
I'd rather you just kill me.